I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Faith Friday here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, we've pretty much been talking nonstop about the current administration in the United States, so let's move on to Rome. Let's talk about the Pope, because he made a big deal announcement, maybe. Now, the Pope has been very, very confusing in his attitudes about gay people. He doesn't condemn them specifically, but it's unclear on what rights he's ever wanted them to have. Well, now he's come out and said that he would like to see civil marriage be available to same-sex couples. How very 1970s of him, how progressive. That's about as progressive as the Pope gets, bringing us into the 1970s in the Catholic Church. But, you know, we kind of rejected the idea, at least the gay community, actually the whole LGBTQ community, has kind of rejected the idea of same-sex marriage for the reason that we reject the separate but equal schools. Separate is never equal. Still, this is a big departure from the church past. And here's what he said in a documentary that premiered recently. He said, "Homosexuals have a right to be part of the family. They're children of God and have a right to a family. Nobody should be thrown out or be made miserable because of it." And then he said, "What we have to create is a civil union law. That way they are legally covered. I stood up for that." So basically, he's being pretty reasonable that the reality of gay people, because they really do exist, and they really do fall in love, and they really do want to be in relationships, because it's about love. As yeah, sure, there's sex, and the people who hate gays focus on sex, but it's about love. When we're talking about civil unions and marriage, it's about love. But for some people in the Catholic Church hierarchy, yeah, love is a bridge too far. And one of the most ironic responses, that comes from Providence Bishop Thomas Tobin, a man notorious for ignoring child sexual abuse, but he was quick to attack the Pope. He said, "The Holy Father's apparent support for the recognition of civil unions for same-sex couples needs to be clarified. The Pope's statement clearly contradicts what has been the long-standing teaching of the Church about same-sex unions. The Church cannot support the acceptance of objectively immoral relationships. Individuals with same-sex attraction are beloved children of God and must have their personal human rights and civil rights recognized and protected by law." Okay, all right, he's starting to make sense here. But he continues, "However, the legalization of their civil unions, which seek to simulate holy matrimony, is not admissible." Thomas? You're a friggin' bishop. He's the friggin' Pope. Do you know anything about the structure of your church? Well, actually, in my experience, Catholics don't tend to know very much about how their church is put together. And no, the Pope is not, as I have heard some people say, infallible on this. Infallibility is a very distinct thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand exactly what it is. But it doesn't mean that everything that comes out of the Pope's mouth is infallible. Only certain specific things set up in a certain specific way. So, he said we must recognize their human rights and civil rights, but we won't recognize their rights. This coming from a guy who had over 300 local priests credibly accused in 2019. He has long been viciously anti-gay, and not even remotely similar to what you would think of as a man of God. Even non-Catholics are busily condemning the Pope. That includes Franklin Graham, the winner of the competition between he and Jerry Falwell Jr. Jerry Falwell lost by default for getting kicked out of his own church. So Franklin Graham wins as the most disgusting of the mainstream super preachers, ones whose names are generally known to the public. So here's the dickwad thing he said in a much longer statement. Actually, it's all dickwadish, but here's the thing that I specifically noted. He said, "For Pope Francis to attempt to normalize homosexuality is to say that holy scriptures are false, that our sins really don't matter, and that we can continue living in them." Well, you do continue living in your sins, and we've documented a lot of them right here. So basically, he goes on to kind of make it clear that he thinks the Pope needs to repent. He seems pretty clueless on his own need to repent. I think I'm more aligned with his granddaughter. Her name is Jerusha Dunford, And she said it should break the hearts of everyone, especially evangelicals, that the Republican Party doesn't care more for babies outside the womb than it does for babies inside the womb. I'm paraphrasing. Let me quote here. Scripture is so clear about how we should handle refugees and orphans. It's not an option to turn a blind eye to these kind of things. For me, pro-life does not just mean life inside the womb. It's things we talked about at the border, health care, poverty, homelessness. All of these things, if you're going to be pro-life, you need to be pro-adoption and pro-foster care. I wish the Republicans would value life outside the womb more, and I wish the Democrats would value life inside the womb more. Well, we actually do value life inside the womb if it's wanted, 100%. But if it's an unwanted child and it's early on in the pregnancy, then yeah, we support a woman's right to choose. But absolutely, the Republican side of things, they don't care squat about a baby once it's on its own. They only care when they can use a fetus to control a woman's life, and that's kind of the end of it. But the big question is even the Vatican going along with this? I mean, the conservatives are kind of losing their minds. But the Vatican is this big, clunky bureaucracy. And he could have real problems with the Vatican not supporting this. Could be even a real backlash and battle over it. Because what the Pope did is he let out his inner humanity, a humanity that is missing from an awful lot of his fellow Catholics. And here I'm talking about the leadership, not the lay people. In my experience, the lay people in the Catholic Church are much more reasonable, much more loving, much more kind than the people leading them. So I'll give him a tiny little bit of credit, but, you know, he always makes these positive statements and then it just kind of goes away and you don't really know what he stands for or whether there's going to be any real institutional change. And where he's completely and totally failed is on his most important job, protecting children from pedophile priests. It's still going on. He hasn't stopped it. He hasn't done anything that's really been effective. It's been pitiful. They've gotten a tiny bit better, but they continue to block child abuse survivors from receiving fair compensation. They continue to employ and protect known abusers. And the policies that they do put in place are completely inadequate. And that's not me talking, that's according to Marcy Hamilton, founder and CEO of Child USA. She's a leading expert on clergy sex abuse. And she's one of the primary participants in the creation of her organization's recently released white paper on the subject. And it is not a positive report. What Child USA found was that very few of the archdiocese surveyed have designated impartial third parties to investigate abuse allegations. In most cases, their own employees or members of the Catholic hierarchy are responsible for investigating. And that kind of is an obvious conflict of interest. Even the Church's own National Review Board wrote, "We continue to see the failure to publish reporting procedures in the various languages in which the liturgy is celebrated, poor record-keeping of background checks, dysfunctional diocesan review boards, lack of a formal monitoring plan for priests who have been removed from ministry, failure to update policies and procedures." It goes on and on. They continue to fail, and children continue to get molested by priests. It's not something from the long ago past. Just last June, the Pope named Bishop-elect Michel Malloy to a Minnesota diocese. He was supposed to be elevated on October 1st, but then it turned out that the man he had personally elevated had a credible accusation of abusing a minor. Great job vetting there. In New York City, a priest was charged with sexting a teenager on Grindr. That was back at the end of July. And then we've got Reverend Mark White. He's been speaking out. He's based in Virginia, but he's been speaking out about ex-Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, the guy who was notorious for sexually abusing boys under his care. So Mark White spoke out against him. So what did the church do? They blamed White. They locked the doors to the church's White oversaw so that he couldn't even get inside, and they reassigned him to prison ministry. All because he was trying to bring attention to a cardinal who legitimately was sexually molesting boys. The Pope has been as successful at battling pedophilia in the church as our president has been at battling